So our scripture reading you find in the first epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Corinthians. And our text comes from chapter 2, the first five verses, but we'll begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that cometh to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This far the reading of God's word. Dear congregation of Langley, we live in challenging times, and the church throughout history has faced many difficulties, and we also can face them at this time. The challenges or difficulties that might come from the environment that we live in, the temptations that it provides and tries to draw us away from God, or the opposition that the church can face so often, or even from within our own hearts, our own selves, creating difficulties. And so there's many things in this world that are pressing us down or pulling us away or trying to isolate us from God and from His Word. And through this all, we need to ask ourselves, are all these pressures and these temptations and these challenges, are they causing us to conform to this world? Are they causing us to crumble under the pressures and the difficulties? Or do we still see the Word of God transforming us into the image of His Son? And are we an instrument of God in this environment through the transforming of the environment around us? So here, when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, it was in response to the challenges that arose in this church. He first went to Corinth in about 50 AD on his second missionary journey, and this letter was written then a few years later after he had communicated with some people. And now here in this letter, Paul, he reminds the Corinthians why and how he had first come to them a number of years before. He reminds them of that message that he had brought to them at that time. You know, Corinth was a wealthy city, a city that valued Greek thought and philosophy. It was known for its arts and its luxury, but also a city known for its corruption and its sin that even Rome was ashamed of. And so when Paul first did come to Corinth, he also faced that opposition. And even when he began to preach the gospel to the Jews, he found opposition there, but he found when he preached to the Gentiles, the Lord began that work and he saved sinners out of that life of sin, even though it was a city of such horrible corruption. And now Paul here, he's reminding the Corinthians of that message that he came to them initially with. And he shows them that even though this world is constantly changing and there's many challenges, there's something that never changes, and that is God Himself, and that is the message of the gospel that God has given. And Paul shows them that he had come to them with that one intent, that is to proclaim that one message of the Lord Jesus Christ. That only message that can save sinners, no matter what the circumstances or what the challenges or what the condition of the soul, and that through the power of this Holy Spirit. And that is the only message that can transform us and the world around us and bring repentance to our own hearts and to the hearts of those in our nations. And that's the message that we as well need to hear today. And so we briefly want to consider this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, the first five verses, under the theme of the gospel message proclaimed. And we can read again chapter 2, the first few verses, where Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So then in the first place, we can see the content of this message that Paul seeks to bring. In the second place, the manner of proclaiming this message. And in the third place, the purpose of proclaiming that message. So the gospel message proclaimed, first, the content, the second, the manner, and thirdly, the purpose. Verse 2 says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul reminded them that he had one message for them, that was Jesus Christ in him crucified. That was the whole content of his message to the Corinthian church, and that's the whole content of the scriptures to us today. Even though Paul, he himself was well-educated and well-traveled, and in this busy trade city of Corinth, there could have been many things to do or to discuss or to talk about. But in contrast to the known pride of the Corinthians and to their boasting, Paul begins to speak to them of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is meek, who is humble. In contrast to the desire of the pleasures of this life, Paul begins to speak to them of the man of sorrows who came to suffer and to die. And so he did, as Acts 18 also shows, that he began with the Jews, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But they quickly rejected him, and so Paul turned to the Gentiles there as well. And he spoke of Christ Jesus, even as we can see in verse 30 of the previous chapter, where he says, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You can think of what Paul would have been speaking to these Corinthians about a God who is holy, about a God who cannot look upon sin, and of us sinners who he says in Romans that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there is none righteous, no, not one. And then he would have caused him to seek and to ask, well, how then can we be right before God, before a holy God? And here, Paul, he would begin pointing them then to the Lord Jesus Christ and to him crucified, where God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, as he said in 2 Corinthians 5. He spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself was that eternal Son of God, who dwelt in all glory in heaven, and yet who willingly came down into this world, sent of his Father, to be born of a woman, to take upon him that human flesh, and to walk in this world in that human nature, where he laid down all the glories of heaven and humbled himself to become a servant in this world. And here he lived that perfect life of obedience to his Father. Here he lived a perfect life instead of his people and for his people. And even though he faced every temptation and every trial and challenge and opposition in this world, he was a man who knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was despised and he was rejected of his own people. Even Pilate, the Roman governor at the time, had to admit that he found no fault in this man. He found no reason of death in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the Jews, his own people, out of spite and hatred, cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," in Luke 23. And he would have showed how the Gospels record now that they led the Lord Jesus Christ there to Calvary, and where they crucified him on the cross between two other thieves, crucified as a criminal, the only person who ever walked in this world with no sin, crucified as the greatest criminal when he was nailed to the cross. And they might ask, well, why was he crucified? Well, Isaiah 53, verse 3 says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." All sin needs to be punished, because God cannot leave a single sin unpunished, or else God will no longer be a perfect and a holy and a just God. And rather than leaving sin unpunished, he punished that sin in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. He became that perfect sacrifice for sin, who himself knew no sin and yet became sin for his people. And there on the cross, he took the blame for his people. There he took the penalty of sin, of that curse of death for his people. And there on the cross of Calvary, he took that full wrath of God, that full burden of God against sin for his people. And there that justice of God was satisfied in his sacrifice on the cross. And there God's anger could be turned away because his justice had been satisfied and that sin, that penalty had been paid for. And so Paul says to them here, we preach Christ crucified in chapter 1, verse 23. Him who was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him by faith. And it is through this Lord Jesus Christ that we can be now accounted righteous before this holy God. And Paul was determined to know nothing among these Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because that is what God has provided for sinners like you and me to be reconciled to him. That is the only answer for our sins, as it was for the Corinthians in those days. That's the only way that we have back to God. And so that is the whole content of Paul's message to the Corinthians that he reminds them of. And it is the whole content of the gospel that we still have today. But the manner, in the second place, we see the manner in which Paul sought to preach this gospel also has a great significance. So secondly, the manner of proclaiming that message. How did Paul communicate this message to the Corinthians? Well, the Corinthians were used to hearing eloquent speeches and convincing arguments or debates, and they seemed to follow leaders who were fine speakers or deep philosophers. But Paul, who himself was very educated, in verse 1 says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And in verse 4 he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The manner of Paul's preaching was not with enticing words. It was not found in his own ability to communicate to the people, not in his own eloquence. He never tried to come with clever arguments just to try to persuade the people to follow his thinking. He never came, as 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And he explains in verse 18 that for the preaching of the cross is to them that preach foolishness. If we rely on our own argumentation, on our own reasoning and debating to persuade a person to believe, then we've missed the point. And we've missed the essence. And we've made the cross of Christ of no effect. See, the cross of the thought of the cross is the most repulsive thing to humans. It's a death by the most horrible and painful means. It's a death of the most innocent person. It's a death of the Son of God himself. And why would God even allow something like that to happen, they say. Even his disciples could not understand what was happening when their master was captured and led away and crucified on that cross. The Jews did not believe it. Verse 22 of chapter 1 says the Jews require a sign. And they stumble at the preaching of Christ crucified. That's not what they expected their Messiah and their King to be. But the Greeks, they seek after wisdom in verse 22. The preaching of Christ crucified seems like foolishness to them. It made no sense to their human understanding. How can we obtain life from someone who died on the cross? And in Athens, they mocked at the thought of the resurrection from the dead. They wanted to be able to understand the things of the human reason, to be able to reason their way up to these things, which was impossible to them. But Paul knows that the reality is that we're spiritually dead by nature and sins and trespasses. That by nature we do not even want God, that we do not want to return to God, that we have no way back to God ourselves in our own strength or by our own wisdom. But Paul says his preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul knows, and he himself was taught to know that power of God when he himself was heading to Damascus, breathing hatred and fire to persecute the church. He thought he was doing God a favor, and he was fully intent on persecuting the Christians. And there he met the power of God. God stopped him. God turned him, and God made him into a preacher of righteousness of the gospel. And Paul knows that that power did not come from himself, that power is not in man, but it's given by God, as he says in verse 12 of our chapter. Paul knows that this power does not come from human philosophy or human wisdom or science. These may be a means of communicating a message, but they're not the power. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's what Paul writes. But that same message, he says in verse, the same message of the cross, he says, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He writes in Romans 1, verse 16. So Paul is not ashamed of this gospel. Sometimes we can have that when we try to speak to others about the gospel. We think, well, how can we begin? Will they even believe what I have to say? How will they be convinced or converted? And we stop at ourselves. But Paul here, he had suffered so many beatings. He was put in prison in Philippi, Acts 16 says. But he saw that the Lord opened Lydia's heart when he preached. And he saw that Philippian jailer had come to faith when he shared the gospel with him. Paul, he suffered a mocking and a scorn in Athens when he preached about the resurrection in Acts 17. But there also many people wanted to hear more of this gospel. And so then here in verse 3 of our chapter, Paul said he came to Corinth in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now he felt his physical weakness. He recognized his own inability in many ways, and especially to save sinners and to change hearts. He came in fear and trembling, recognizing the dangers, but especially because of his complete dependence on God. It's not our ability. It's not our own words. It's not our human wisdom that can save a soul, but it is only through the power of his Holy Spirit when he brings that word to our hearts. Christ, Jesus, and him crucified, Paul says, that is what I came to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It is that message that he came to bring, because for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, he says in verse 21. And so Paul, he came to declare that mystery of God, that hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. And verse 7 of our chapter says that it's God ordained it before the world. The mystery that God made a way of salvation possible to save sinners through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. That God himself had opened a way through his Son, whereby now sinners can be saved. A way and a mystery that is revealed by the power of his Holy Spirit to the hearts of sinners. It's not by human wisdom or reasoning, but it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, he says again in Romans 1. And so Paul sought to bring this message in this way, because he recognized his own weakness and the centrality of the cross of Christ. But also in the third place, he sought to bring this message because Christ, is the only foundation for our salvation. And the purpose then of proclaiming that message. Why did Paul seek to come to the Corinthians in that way? Why did Paul focus only and want to bring only the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that message, with all simplicity and humility? He says in verse 5, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. His gospel comes to sinners. It comes to fallen creatures who by nature are at enmity with God, who have no way back to God, who have no desire to go back to God. It comes to us who have that penalty of death hanging over us because of our sin against God. And there's nothing except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that can remove that penalty. And Paul knew that no human ability could save a sinner, but only the Holy Spirit can make a dead sinner live. It's not our wisdom. Otherwise, we might have something to boast about if we were the ones who could save ourselves. But God removes all other grounds upon which we might be tempted to rest or to stand. He removes all grounds for boasting in ourselves so that He might get all the glory. And so that with no other hope and no other refuge beside, we might flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, for that only is salvation for sinners. And that we might stand on Christ, that solid rock alone. And the reason is, as he says in verse 29 of the last of chapter 1, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And no one can boast in the sight of God for anything in ourselves of what we might have done. And as we heard earlier from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, where it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We just like the Corinthians, we do not like weakness. We're embarrassed if we fail, or if we're not strong enough, or if we can't do something well enough. But God has designed His gospel in this way to reveal our weaknesses so that He will receive the glory. And God calls sinners to repentance. In verse 26, Paul says, and not many wise, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. God does not call sinners based on their merits or their who they are, but it's only based on the love and the sovereignty of God. If it was based on human wisdom or ability, we would expect many, many wise and many noble, many educated to come. But it's exactly the opposite. And that's why Paul here, he could come in weakness. Because he had learned to confess, as he wrote in 1 Timothy 1, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that is why Paul says in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because if our salvation rests in our own wisdom, or the choices that we have made, or the fact that we follow a certain person or a church, then we have no foundation for our salvation. But our faith must stand on the power of God, which He has revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. God made Christ to be sin for us. And He says in chapter 1, verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that is the only place where we can rest our faith. That is the only place where God freely provides everything that a sinner needs in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why Paul was determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. All for the glory of God. As it says in verse 31, so that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There is nothing of us. That we love him because he has first loved us. And then there's only one message that can give you hope today. And that is that Jesus Christ has died. And that he rose again for us to be the Savior of sinners. There's only one message for us today that can give peace with God. And that is Christ is that righteousness that we need to stand righteous before God. And that God freely supplies this salvation for needy sinners who seek to him. This is a message that we can preach in our own weakness, but it's a message that we can all receive by faith because it comes not from our own strength, but by the power of God. It has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save sinners. And so there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name that Paul here is preaching to his people in Corinth. And there's only one way back to the Father. There's only one way to stand reconciled to the Father. And that is through this Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to say with Paul today as well. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen.